to Prior to the Snap. So it's Saturday, April 27th, and I'm going to open the show a little bit different than I normally do. As you guys know, we record this show right here in Oklahoma. With that said, we are under a high risk for tornadic activity today and high-end thunderstorms. With that said, the thought process is today's show is going to be kind of an abridged version. We're not going to get as deep into some topics as we normally would just because, you know, I had said maybe we go for like an hour, maybe, you know, a little bit longer than that. But we do the show and we make sure, though, that we have enough time that we can get ourselves in front of the TV for weather coverage to make sure, you know, if there's something coming with everything that they're promising, that we are safe and prepared. So with that said, be prepared for kind of a abridged version of our draft coverage, stuff like that. And I will direct you a lot of it to, of course, our Facebook prior to the Snap radio show on Facebook, where you'll see very extensive draft coverage. So as we go, I want to thank, of course, all the wonderful folks that are always involved. Everybody out there that listens, you listen to us, download us, stream us, listen to us, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Listen Notes, and any and everywhere you get your podcast. Thank you so much for Moolah Kicks to being an amazing brand, a brand that believes in the one and only Cassie, a brand that believes in our show, and a brand that most of all believes in all the young women out there. Speaking of young women out there, speaking of Moolah Kicks, shoes that are made by a woman for women's feet, we need to bring in the amazing, the big brain. The one that is always intellectually packing the champion for women's sports, Cassie.
It's so awkward.
I love it. It's my favorite. So awkward. It's my favorite. Welcome to the awkwardness. So let's just dive right in. So let's start with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Obviously, they have a game later on here tonight. They're up 2-0 as it stands against the, I almost said Los Angeles Pelicans. I somehow feel like the Lakers would be offended as well as the Pelicans would simultaneously be offended. Everybody, so they're playing the Pelicans. That's just the Pels, as they say. So they're up 2-0 on them, and of course it begs the question, can the Thunder sweep the Pels? I say no right now. It's not that the Thunder are playing poorly, not by any stretch. I say that they have a chance. I'm not ready and willing to like bet the farm on the kids yet. You know, obviously, you know, we're right here, hometown team, as some of you guys been eating me up for in the comments and in your messages. But I just don't want to assign to that yet. So, what you think? You think they're gonna sweep them?
No,
think they got the broom out. No,
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 nah, no.
You don't think the broom's out?
No.
Well,
as long as Gordon Hayward's there, no.
So
you can't even act offended by that comment.
So, you know, I want to also say that it's really good to see that SGA and Chet are producing, that they're doing so well. I believe it was Chet that mentioned that SGA at the end in their, I almost said in their press conference, but it wasn't, in the interview on the court after game two, I believe it was Chet that took the mic and said, look, this guy is the MVP. He said that SGA is the MVP. He wants to make sure that everybody out there knows it because he said he is too modest and he's too humble to say it, but he said, I'm going to say it. So, and I agree with him, man. He is one of the best MVP prospects out there right now. Proud of the kid, always producing. He knows how to get the foul. He's always moving. He's got a great shot from anywhere, and he doesn't get easily discouraged, which I love. He always has that like positive energy out there on the court. Now, with that said, I want to talk about somebody who is not producing. Cassie mentioned his name earlier. I want to talk about Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward came in during game two, and I want to say the guy got like 7 minutes. I am sorry, but that is seven of the most wasted minutes. I think I saw him get a rebound, and I think I saw him make a shot. Guys, Gordon Hayward was brought in as that veteran, as that guy who should be able to get up and down the court. He's the guy that can get some rebounds. He's the guy that could bring some leadership. At this point, I have seen him out of place. He stands there. He doesn't do anything. I don't know what his job is at this point. I feel like he doesn't know. He looks so gosh darn lost. He doesn't look to take shots. He immediately looks to pass the ball. I have no idea what Gordon Hayward is doing. Gordon Hayward has no idea what he's doing. Look, it's a failed project. And while I realize I see it, I see you, Mark Daigneault. You're trying to utilize rotations. You're trying to utilize bodies in there. I think he had, what, 11 different players that played, and some people on TNT were just like, oh, my gosh, you know, just all of these rotation, all these different people. No, that's the bread and butter of the Thunder, and I get it. But not every human being that you have giving those minutes to is the right human, okay? And I get it. It takes a lot to be an NBA coach. I'm not an NBA coach, but I am telling you that I do have eyes and I can see, and I do see that Gordon Hayward is just not the man that he used to be. He stands there and he just looks lost. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick and tired of Gordon Hayward. I can't do this anymore. I know. He got a rebound. He got one. I appreciate it. Gordon Hayward, have a seat.
Bruh.
Yes.
He just, the whole time, every time I've watched him play, he just looks like he's lost in the sauce.
Yes.
Just nowhere to be, nothing to do, toots his little butt out, and just stands there. He looks like he does the Tina on the court.
Oh, my gosh. Please expound upon that for those that don't
Bob's
know.
Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Tina.
Yes.
Look it up.
Yes.
The comparison is real.
So the Lakers can't seem to beat the Nuggets, and Anthony Davis there after the game tossing the microphone
what
was just
cry,
too
baby.
Much for me. You know, the Lakers, you know, they just look disappointing, and it's bizarre to me that by the second half of the second game, they all look gassed. They all look so tired. I mean, they had like a 20-point lead by halftime, if I recall, and they still managed to lose the game. I mean, that's absolutely horrific. And I really want to drill down to Darvin Ham. How many times did we see him with his hands in his pockets over there just vibing? Like, as a coach, I feel like he's not coaching. He's just kind of just there. He's just hanging out. Like, do you think he's going to be coach after the end of the season?
No.
Yeah. I don't see any way.
But I also think you should just grenade the entire Lakers team as well.
Oh, my. What?
Bruh.
You want to get rid of, like, Anthony Davis and Hachimura?
Just grenade the whole thing. Just grenade the whole thing.
LeBron.
Start over.
What?
That is, like, the saddest thing I have seen so far in the playoffs is watching the Lakers just, like, fail miserably.
They did implode.
Watching LeBron just, like, not even work on, just stand there. Just legitimately stand there. Watch him miss, like, seven layups.
Oh.
Like, that was just a mess. Ooh. Just pathetic. Ooh. And his attitude is... Anthony Davis and his little crybaby move that he did, I'm just sick of it.
Okay, now when you say that, are you referring to him tossing the microphone?
Yeah.
Do you feel like his disgust was warranted?
With the press? No.
So you think that he should have handled that better?
Yeah. Yeah, that was so childish, I can't even... Like, I do not expect that out of someone his age.
Mm.
That was pathetic.
Mm.
Do better. And you know what? That's what I'm saying. Just grenade the whole team. Start over. Just grenade the whole thing.
Mm. Okay, I'm not going to go that far. But, I see...
What do you think the plan is for LeBron, though? Like, FRFR, right? You got Bronny, who he wants to go to the draft. He said he wants to play where his boy is. Do you think he's purposely playing the way he's playing so he makes sure he goes where his boy goes?
Not even a little bit. I think he's playing the way he's playing because he's a 39,
40-year-old
man. Yeah, I think
he's
just doing the best that he can.
And going through a divorce?
I mean, yeah. There's just so much going on.
Boy,
it's just
bad.
That's a lot. And so I will say, just to couple on to this LeBron conversation, that I think LeBron's going to be the next player coach. First player coach, rather, not next. I think that LeBron will replace Darvin Ham as the coach of the Lakers next season, and I think he's going to be the coach. And it'll give him a great opportunity to have some sit-down conversation stroke, not that he doesn't have a lot of stroke anyway, with the organization and the heads to try to get his son there at the Lakers as a bench guy.
When you say player coach,
yeah,
you mean he's going to coach the team and play?
That is what I mean.
How is that even possible?
Well, it's never happened before, so we would find
like
out with him.
CBAs and everything allow for that to happen?
I don't know that it doesn't. I just think most people don't want those kind of problems.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, but I think that LeBron would
play
Bronny
constantly. And
sure, he sets up the rotations. I mean,
gross.
He can do whatever he wants.
Gross. Sounds like a terrible idea.
I mean, there is an opportunity for nepotism and things like that, but at the same time, if there's nothing... in the bylaws that's written to stop that because it's never come up, well, then he'll write the book on
this,
it.
How did this even come into your head?
It makes sense.
But, like, how would you even think of that?
How would I personally?
Yeah.
There's been some noise about it. If I have to give credit where credit's due for the first person I saw say it, it was a guy named Corey Cashmere on Facebook who was just coming up with random things about the Lakers because he's a fan. And I at first thought he was a crazy person. And then after taking some time to think about it, I was like, this is not the most ludicrous thing that LeBron James could do at this point. This is not the most ludicrous. I've heard crazier stories out of him than this. I could actually see this, especially now as he's getting long in the tooth. It makes sense to go into a coaching capacity.
But still play.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and his play, of course, is nowhere near the play that it used to be. I mean,
so, like, he's going to be dressed to play but coaching the team at the same time?
Yes, absolutely. I personally say it's that he does that for 1 year. And then rules and bylaws and things start to come into place and be written into the CBA and get written into the NBA rule book. And then he transitions to be just coach.
Because at that point, you'd be taking a player's salary along with a coaching salary.
I'm sure you just kind of blend the two.
That's wild. Wild.
Well, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It makes sense. It does. It makes sense for LeBron. It doesn't make sense for the average person. But for LeBron, it makes perfect sense. So
is Bronny worth drafting?
In my opinion, no, not right now. He needs to get at least another ice cream season or two on him, but I don't think that that's going to matter. You know, I mean, I think that his father has raised his draft stock to a degree by saying what he said, and there's a lot of people that are buying in as far as the talking heads out there, and as long as he can win over the court of public opinion and at least two or three teams, I mean, you know, you get what you get.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So, let's talk. Let's switch sports. Let's talk about Lincoln Riley. He's being hailed as a quarterback mastermind with the quarterbacks that obviously he's turned into Heisman winners with Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, and Caleb Williams. Some say that Caleb was quite angry that he was behind Spencer Rattler and said that he was glad that he was gone when he left Oklahoma. This is very interesting, of course, you know, that there was so much talk in an article, I think Sports Illustrated pushed this week, where he talked about how much he badmouthed Lincoln Riley after Lincoln Riley left, immediately following his departure. He badmouthed Lincoln Riley, said, you know, how much he didn't like that he didn't play him, even though he felt like he was the best. Pardon me, there's a little yawn there. He just wasn't happy with him. But, as you guys also know, he turned around and he followed him to USC, a decision that went great for him because it got him a Heisman, everything else. So, very positive decision. But, you know, him and his dad, of course, excuse me, I can't leave his dad out of the equation because I feel like his dad is a large part of Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get Caleb, you get dad, too. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, I knew when I wrote these notes how I felt it was going to be really interesting to see how this number one pick with him played out. And as we start to transition into the draft and we'll talk about it, First, you have anything that you want to add to that? I was just running away with it.
No, you're fine. I can't stand that kid.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a lot about that kid. So let's talk more about the draft. Him. Let's talk about Roger Goodell. He just had back surgery like 3 weeks ago. And I find it odd that he didn't wait until after the draft or he didn't do it like aggressively sooner to have more heel time before this because, you know, he loves to give out his patented hugs and all this other stuff. And it made me nervous for him to know that, you know, he's had surgery, all these things going on, and he's going to be vulnerable, if you will.
Yeah,
so,
but it could have been a very minor surgery.
It's true.
It could have been a very minor. He seemed to be walking just fine. Like, as someone who has watched their dad go through like 6-7 different back surgeries, Roger Goodell seemed fine.
Varying degrees.
Yeah, there's
surgery.
Varying degrees. I mean, they're to the point you can have it done laparoscopically in some situations now. Like, but I want to backpedal.
Uh-oh.
To Caleb.
Well, we could front pedal to Caleb because he's next.
Okay.
He's next after this piece of Roger Goodell information.
I like to say his name.
So speaking of Roger Goodell. And I guess
why was nobody booing him? That is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Really,
this is
strange.
This is the tamest draft I've ever watched.
That was really strange. You know what? Can I interject? Oh, I can't do that. I am all over the place. So I pulled up.
Am I causing you chaos?
No. There was a deal of information that I had that I wanted to pull up. I pulled up the wrong piece of information about a segment that didn't make it in that I'm going to toss in, and we're going to talk about in between this talk about the draft. So we're going to mess up the flow by me talking about this.
Bro, you are all over the place right now.
I certainly am. So let me bring this up. Ice Cube's Big Three in the end offered Caitlin Clark over $15 million, including salary, team ownership, merch profits, and a documentary stake.
Wow.
What's your opinion on that?
Very mixed degrees of opinions.
Really?
On that. Yeah. Because I think at base... Why continue to further a man's product?
Oh.
When you can further the woman's product.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? There's money to be made there, but look, she just picked up that $28 million Nike deal over 5 years.
Right.
She's fine. And while I think it's great that, you know, Big Cube, Ice Cube, recognized her game, I think that's awesome. But like I said, again, you're just furthering a man's product in that situation. And you're playing against men, which is fine. But, again, why not further the woman's product over the men's product? And I think Caitlin recognizes that.
I agree with you. So, there we go. I'm still trying to find exactly what it is that I wanted to share with everyone. I remember some of it, so I can pull some of it from off the top of my head. But I really wanted to have it in front of me, and that's okay. So it's about Roger Goodell and his appearance on the Pat McAfee show that he backs extending the season to 18 games.
Good Lord.
And, yeah, a lot more games. And you know what really slows me down, and anybody that's listening to this can probably relate as they try to look up different sports things, it's darn ads. I go to these major pages, you know, these major websites, and the amount of ads on them is just atrocious. But he backs the 18-game season and putting the Super Bowl for the first time on a holiday weekend, which is obviously wild because a lot of people have massive Super Bowl parties. There we go. He's happy with the 17-game season, but he said that as the league looks forward, he sees moving to 18 games. If we got 18 games... we got 18 regular season games and 2 preseason games. He believes that that is not unreasonable. So, it's more football. Lord knows I don't mind. So, he also pointed out the thought of, there we go. He also pointed out the thought that he wanted to move the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend. Now, that matters because that is the same weekend as the Daytona 500. And we'll talk more about why that matters and what happens there in the future. But I just wanted to say season game extension and still with 2 preseason games. All right. We're going to talk about
that was like a jog from the side.
What do you mean?
How did we get here?
Well, because I didn't have what I needed, and I had to just kind of read that off of something
your
else.
Your brain just like...
Yeah, it didn't go the way I wanted.
It must be from the fall earlier.
From?
It must be from the fall earlier.
Oh, are we going to talk about the fall?
Dude, that was the best.
We're gonna talk about the fall?
So, well, I mean, if you didn't fall in sections, then I wouldn't have to talk about it, but you fall in sections.
I had a light tumble, I think, is what you're trying
to
say.
You got your big old foot stuck in cords, hopped 4 times, and then spun in the air when you collapsed almost into the wall.
You are too much.
I'm Thomas.
You are too much. And by the way, Thomas just came on. You are too much right now. This is insane. But I don't know if you're trying to say that was the sound when I fell.
No.
But
no.
Yes, I did trip over a couple of...
No, it sounded like someone falling through like a bunch of boxes and into a wall.
Oh, my goodness. Like a cartoon.
The fact that Riley and the dog were both standing at the door when the door opened was the best part.
Oh, my gosh.
I should have recorded it.
I appreciate that they came to check on me while you were hysterically laughing.
I just sat and watched.
Yes. They came
It happened too fast for me to do it. What was I supposed to catch you?
I don't know.
You're like a dainty flower that needs to be caught.
You know what? I managed to roll and make sure when I fell toward my back and side and didn't break my wrist or hit my elbow or anything. I was very proud.
The fact that your brain works that way, dude. Like, who thinks like that?
As
like,
you're falling, you have to plan your fall.
Like, I fell in, like, in the driveway on top of my purse and, like, knocked the wind out of myself. Like, legitimately, I rolled my ankle.
Oh my god!
And stepping on, you know, where the seams of the driveway are, like the side of my foot must have hit the seam just right, and I went down. My purse flung forward on me, and my wallet must have been like, at some kind of weird angle. So when I went down, it hit me like right in the breastplate, and I don't know if I was asleep like out there.
Oh,
I don't know.
Gosh.
I just woke up, was like out of breath. It was rough.
Not sure how long I've been here.
I have no idea. I mean, I still made it to work on time, so it couldn't be that long.
That's impressive.
I'm lucky I didn't biff my head.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well.
Back to Caleb Williams.
Okay, so let's talk about the number one pick in the draft. Let's talk about how do you feel about Caleb Williams' future with the Chicago Bears? Okay. I see. I think that I need to have a discussion with the listener and with you about generations and the fact that, you know, again, as a person in their mid-40s, you know, I have to come to the realization that Caleb Williams is a Gen Z quarterback, you know, and he's polarizing. You know, he's probably one of the more out there people that we've seen in this draft, you know. He's the one who hasn't been afraid to have pictures. You know, they were like, was it GQ? He took the pictures and it kind of looked like a dress. He's not afraid to carry the fanny pack or a merce or a handbag. He paints his nails, you know. He had the moment where he was emotional with his mom. He openly wept in front of everyone, you know, and Caleb wept and it was what it was.
Bruh.
And I think that, you know, he's just a different mold of QB. You know, he's not Roger Staubach. You know, that's not what you expected from a man's man then. And then today you look, you know, and you have a different vision. But we live in a different time with a different set of social norms for what's acceptable for a man to be. And so I question, and you please tell me if you disagree. I know you will. You tell me if you think that maybe what we're being introduced to, it's the herald of a new time with a new standard of what a man is in this time of Gen Z, in this 2024, in our lives today, and we just need to learn how to conform and how to accept the Caleb Williams for what he is and know that there's going to be many more quarterbacks and other skill and position players like
him. Did you see any other person at that draft interacting and acting the way that Caleb Williams did?
Well, I don't know that I saw him particularly act a certain
way
while he was at the draft.
Do you see anybody in the draft, in this year's draft picks?
He did invent the bear claw.
Did you see anybody else at the draft that reacts? Okay, Caleb Williams is a product of the way he was raised.
Oh, okay. Please expound upon that.
Well, when your son is given everything they want their entire lives, they're going to act like a prima donna, just like Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel.
How do we know Caleb was given everything?
So you think that Caleb Williams grew up hard and had to work for everything he had?
I haven't seen the Caleb Williams documentary.
Is that the normal behavior out of someone who had to work for everything they have?
I don't know what the normal behavior of like a 22, 23-year-old is these days.
You have a 15-year-old sitting in the living room.
I know,
and
but
you darn
I'm scared
know,
of
darn
what he's
going to
be like
well.
When he's 22. I don't know if he's going to be the same as he is now.
No, he better be better than that.
Oh, my God.
And he's been raised better than that.
You trying to say that his parents failed him?
At least his daddy did.
Oh, my word.
Like, you know what? To me, it's one thing to let your kid know that, like, hey, dude, you're good. Like, you are legitimately a great player and, like, pump them up. And then it's another thing to expect, like, everything to kowtow to you because you're good. That's what daddy put into him. And that's the energy that Caleb Williams gives off. Like, the whole thing about, like, he didn't like Lincoln Riley, blah, 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 blah. But he was the first one to jump up and run to USC with Lincoln Riley. Like, please stop. Like, please quit. You're a prima donna. My favorite part of that whole thing is when he came out first round, first pick, and that whole place was silent.
So he texted the punter and he told the punter, hey, that leg ain't going to get a lot of exercise. You ain't going to be punting much.
Oh, I'm so great. Oh. I can't stand him. Cannot stand him, his attitude, the prima donna, just
So do you expect him to be a bust grimy. Like Jimmy Clausen?
Oh,
like another just like a Johnny Manziel attitude?
Yep. Yeah.
That's tough.
I hope he is.
Oh,
I'll be thrilled.
You are throwing salt all over his
shade.
Path. Throwing salt in his path for him to step over and salt the earth.
Nobody can
so
out there.
He never
can
grows.
His daddy will fix it for him. The fact that he didn't show up for part, what was it, the combine that he didn't show up for because he was busy in Japan with his girlfriend.
Let's rephrase that. Now, that is partially true. He chose not to be a part of the combine because he wanted for the NFL folks to come to USC where during pro days he could throw the ball to his receivers so that he did throw.
No, he didn't.
He threw at USC so that his receivers could catch balls from someone that they're used to catching balls from. They could take a look at him and how he looks in a controlled environment by Caleb. And then Caleb didn't have to go down to the draft.
Such a prima donna. This is exactly what's going to happen with Deion Sanders, kids. Shador. This is going to be the same thing.
So you expect for next year's draft to be another just explosive of...
Daddy ball. Daddy ball.
Really?
But again, like I said, what was it? There was something that where Caleb Williams, he was in Japan with his girlfriend.
Yes, recently. Yes. That's just because a lot of guys that are up for draft spend a lot of time, you know, having dinners, having conversation, making themselves extraordinarily available to any team that may want to talk to them, meeting with different people. You know, there's just so many different things. The Wonderlic, of course, you know, they used to have to take with this, which they don't do the Wonderlic anymore. But, you know, there were just so many different, I'm sorry, I said that like everybody knows what the Wonderlic is. The Wonderlic is like an aptitude test. Where I think last year, I don't remember who it was.
That failed miserably.
Yeah, you remember.
He got like a 0.2. It wasn't a 0.2, it was better than that. But
no,
it was,
he got like
it
a
was 10
out of a possible 200,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's like Yogi Bear.
You know, and so there were, you know, but there's a lot of guys that just make themselves available, you know, and they look to talk and to schmooze and, you know, to get to know other GMs.
His dad was doing
it
for him instead.
So it was a bit odd that he wasn't, but he did say that he wanted to spend time with his girlfriend in Tokyo, and that's where they wanted to go, and so he did. You know, he's got plenty of money. I think last talk, he was worth $8 million out of college, so with endorsements and Beats by Dre.
Is this what's going to But J.J. McCarthy.
What about J.J. McCarthy?
Where did he go?
The kid from Michigan.
Yeah, where did he go?
That is a...
He went like 7th or 8th, right?
I was going to say, he went in the top 10, I do believe.
Yeah.
I really typed in the wrong thing here. I'm very
sorry.
Sorry,
I totally threw you off.
No, you're fine.
With that question.
I don't have, well, it's only thrown off because I don't have this written down and I don't have it memorized because in the world of doing notes and things, you get a lot of different things. Yeah, he went to the Vikings, is where he went. He went to the Vikings, and as far as where he was.
And he acted fine.
I mean, he was fine.
And he's a great little quarterback. I don't know. I just, Caleb Williams makes 10th. Me want to vomit.
He's picked 10.
10. Yeah, Caleb 10, Williams 10. Just makes me want to vomit. His attitude is garbage. He's a prima donna. His interaction with Roger Goodell was just weird. Like the welcoming that he got when he walked out onto that stage, I thought was perfect. I loved every second of it. Loved it.
You
but
know,
can we talk about how lame the draft was in its entirety?
Over 700,000 people were there, so I'm impressed with the amount of people that they got there.
It was the quietest draft I've ever heard, like by far.
There are rumors that the NFL piped sound in and took sound out. So
Shut
we
up.
Heard what they wanted us to hear. The WWE has pioneered this for the last since 2020, piping
That's
in
weird.
Crowd sounds. So it sounds like those were AI-driven manufactured
Shut
crowd
up.
Sounds. So they were probably
so
drunks.
So you're saying people were booing Roger Goodell?
More than
just
likely,
couldn't hear it?
Yes. Or people were
That's
screaming
weird. Or do you
different
think it's
epitaphs
because it was
at
like,
Caleb Williams and cheering and screaming
I'm sure.
and booing.
Do you think that maybe some of it was because it was like half open, half closed?
Some of that is that, but the
and
rest of it is just controlling the narrative.
Ugh, I hate it.
I mean, when you're the NFL, one of the biggest 501c3s anywhere, you know, it's very important that you can control your image and you can control.
You know, I was explaining that to your son the other day, and he just stared at me, just deer in the headlights the whole time.
It is pretty hard to chew on and acknowledge that, I think, if you aren't aware of it already. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's something. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Let's talk about the number two pick. Jaden Daniels went to the Washington Commanders. And if you guys have been listening for a while, you guys know that I've spoken about how Jaden Daniels will literally sacrifice life and limb. You know, this guy's had 12,742 yards pass, 49 yards passing, 3,307 yards rushing. He's not afraid to pick him up and put him down. I mean, there's no question at all. But he has got to learn now in the NFL with dudes that got daddy strength and a multiple child daddy strength that this ain't college and that you cannot take off out of that pocket all the time. There are going to be times where, you know, some big dude is going to plant you. And so, which I feel like he took some pretty big licks in college. Them licks only get bigger in the NFL. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. We will. I was
checking the weather.
Oh, you are fine. No, absolutely. And look, super important. Again, just as a reminder, folks, this is going to be a shorter show than normal, as it is Saturday, as we are scheduled for an alleged tornado outbreak here in Oklahoma. We, you know, may happen, may not happen, but we don't want to be stuck inside of a padded room where we can't be around the weather.
On an outside wall.
Exactly. On an outside wall, in a padded soundproof room.
Facing the south.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's all bad on that. So we want to
make sure.
You know
what I just realized? Every single bedroom in our house faces the south.
Everyone. Every single one.
That's tough.
Everyone is on a, I guess,
south-facing wall.
Well, I was going to say it's on
ours is really,
wall,
ours is really a west wall.
Yeah, we have a bathroom between it, but realistically, make sure that you have yourself a safety plan, right? Because severe weather is something that happens all over the United States or all over the world, and I think it's important that we are looking and checking and making sure we know means of egress so that you can get out of your house, but also if you're trapped, if you're stuck, it's the middle of the night, you know, a crazy storm comes, that you have the capability to be able to protect yourself and your family, and you know where the best place is. So don't wait until you have to.
Yeah, we're like staged.
Exactly, yeah. Please don't wait till you have to do it. Yeah, stay ready so you ain't got to get ready.
For sure.
Okay, we're going to talk about what I found to be the one of the most confusing picks. Number eight, the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr., quarterback. Now, they just signed Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $180 million contract with $90 million guaranteed, if I recall, in March. So he had no reason to think that there was going to be a quarterback coming along, that he's going to be the man. And again, yeah, that $90 million is guaranteed. So the Falcons can get out of it in two seasons, technically, because obviously, you know, they only have to guarantee half. But then they have to decide if they want to go with Penix after 2 years. And the GM is now noted as saying that the Falcons are willing to, hear me on this, willing to let Michael Penix sit for 4 to 5 years. What? What? You have a top, you utilize the top 10 pick, okay? You use this pick, number eight, to get Michael Penix Jr., and you're going to tell me that you're willing to let him sit for 4 or 5 years? That kind of talent? Have you lost your mind? Did you pick him just so that somebody else couldn't? Like, if I can't have him, nobody can. What kind of madness? What, Cassie, what
maybe
do you
it's
think
an idea for
thinking?
A trade.
I.
That's the only thing that makes sense. It literally makes no sense to get a top pick quarterback and
trade
sit
deadline
them
already?
For 4 to 5 years. What?
Hadn't the trade deadline already passed?
Maybe the idea is to trade next year. Maybe there's someone they've seen coming up out of college football that they want more, and they're thinking they can guarantee some kind of trade.
Make him capital for a trade.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
maybe
playing
that's
the long
idea.
Game.
Yeah, but I mean, why not, right? Like, if you see somebody coming up through college that you think is worthy,
yeah,
you know, why not make that move? And then you know you at least have a really good draft. You have a really good stock with, what's his name? I just lost my train of thought. Michael Penix Jr.,
yes.
And knowing, you know, the value that he holds and being able to say, okay, well, I'll trade you him for this pick.
I guess it's feasible. That's the longest of the long game.
You never know, dude. You never know. That may be the
right.
Or maybe they're bracing for Kirk to be, you know, maybe
hurt again because
he'd
be hurt.
And they
yes.
have somebody to step in.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that might be it, too. I don't
know.
There's
just
a weird
a spot
choice
with that contract.
It's just a weird choice. Weird choice.
So I just want to say I think that they fumbled the bag there. But number 28 pick, Xavier Worthy. Wild to me that he stayed up there for so long. And I am so excited, not just because I'm a Longhorn, but I'm so excited to see him go. Shocked at where he went because I figure somebody else would have snatched him up. Let me remind you who Xavier Worthy is. At the Combine this year, he ran a 4.21 40 time. Okay, that's the fastest ever. This guy's got a rocket booster. For those of you too young to know what that reference was, rest in peace, John Madden. Now, some folks have said that being only 6'1", 172 pounds makes him a bit of a liability. I'm sorry, but I will say that during his time at Texas, when he had 197 catches for 2,755 yards and 26 touchdowns, it made him special, and I think that he did okay. I know NFL is different from college, but at the same time, the base parts are still the same. I believe that he's in the perfect place. I think that you got yourself an absolute fighter jet. You've got yourself a mock... I've been asked not to use that word. But a guy that can run at mock speed, that wasn't going to be a bad word, by the way, for those of you freaking out, at mock speed to be able to get downfield for Patrick Mahomes to be able to fire off some amazing throws to. Can you guys imagine hot dog? Can you guys imagine the hot dog play that won the Super Bowl with, I keep wanting to say Henderson, Hernandez, it's not his last name, it starts with an H, and I just can't get it out, but Hardman. Hardman made that game-winning catch. Can you imagine hot dog with Xavier Worthy? I mean, come on, dude. This is something special. I'm surprised that nobody snatched him up to keep the Chiefs from getting him, but they got him now, and I think he's going to be really nice back there for him. He's going to be nice.
The Chargers draft picks threw me off so hard.
Well,
but now, then, like, sitting back and looking at it, I'm like, you know what? It makes sense. It makes sense because the line has always been atrocious in San Diego.
You've said that to me for years.
Yeah, it's always been atrocious. And for some reason, my brain, like when they picked that kid from Notre Dame, I was like, wait, what?
They picked two linemen.
Yeah, they picked two linemen. My brain just couldn't put it together. My brain couldn't. And then later on, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's been one of my biggest gripes. I don't know how I could forget about it.
I think we also have to remember.
So wrapped with Keenan.
Right. Well, yeah. I think we also have to remember that Harbaugh is a run-heavy guy, like when he was at Michigan.
How does Herbert work in that?
I don't think he can be as run-heavy. I mean, he's got Herbert already, so I think that he needs to be well-balanced. At the same time, we also know that you're supposed to utilize the run to open up the pass. So, I mean, he's going to need to be balanced that way, but I am very impressed to see that. He also said on Twitter, I believe he said that linemen are skill position here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's interesting to see that he values the position of a lineman and to see him bring in fresh new linemen and see the linemen that they have be developed. I think that that's a great opportunity for the Chargers. The Chargers have been on the cusp of being better, but then between injuries, which I don't understand, I've never seen an NFL team that's constantly injured the way that they are. They have these great players. I mean, Bosa is consistently injured. Like, there's so many players that are injured so often, it doesn't make sense. So I am interested to see how things go, though. Again, I think that it's going to be a rebuilding year for the Chargers, and I think the Chargers fans still have to gird their loins, if you will. I think that they need to be well prepared for
need a few years.
Yeah. I think that they need to be well prepared for a beatdown or two this year. But I think as they build back into what they're going to be, I think that they are on the precipice, if you will, of something extraordinarily special. Now, I know you guys are hearing draft-heavy talk everywhere right now. And this is an abridged version, so we're going to stop right there. We'll probably circle back, you know, on a later episode. We'll talk some of the draft. We'll talk some changes. We might not. But remember, prior TO the Snap radio show, look that up on Facebook, and you're going to see all the draft coverage right there. You're going to see lists, all kind of analyses, everything. You're going to see some good videos, especially one that I really liked with Pat McAfee and Bill Belichick, where Bill Belichick goes on a tear about some players, and he breaks things down. I really enjoyed listening the way that he did it. So I send you out to our Facebook to check that out. So, at this point, it's time for us to talk about Angel Reese and Alyssa Pelle. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Alyssa Pelle.
I don't know if you want to bring us in on that.
When I first saw this released, was it like Wednesday of last week? I was devastated. Like when Angel Reese, when she showed up for her, I almost said post-game interview, my word, her press conference with the Chicago Sky, there was like six people there, barely clapping. Nothing. I mean, it was just quiet.
It was crazy. Yeah. I was really shocked to see that. And I tell you what, I have a soapbox that I want to get on about that real quick. And I don't want to steal your thunder, but this is just a personal gripe, okay? When you work in certain fields, I know that I end up doing a lot of marketing for my company. And marketing is something that we have to do for the show. And so I want to say also, as someone who was born and raised in the city of Chicago, I know there are beautiful venues all over Chicago. The venue that they use, while that may have been their gym or their practice facility, I'm not sure. I'm not going to sit here and lie.
Dude, it was like 12 chairs with six people.
Right.
No one clapped. Nothing.
Here's my thing. Right now, women's basketball is the hottest it's ever been, bar none, in this country. I think we can all agree with that, that it is at the top. Knowing that, it is your job as the marketing department to do your best to be as aggressive as you can to cash in on that and to get the most people in front of that product as possible. Now, with that said, I know that it's open knowledge that the budgets for the WNBA are not huge. In this case, you don't need them. If you are the marketing director before Angel Reese gets on an airplane to come to you, before you decide to schedule that press conference to say, welcome to Chicago, you're going to every CPS school and you're going to talk to all of those coaches. You're going to talk to all those administrators. You're going to say, listen, hey, Angel Reese is coming. There are young women here who play basketball, who look up to her, who think that she's amazing. They talk about her with her family. Here's what we want. We're going to do this on a Saturday. I want for us to open this up, and I want for us to send home a flyer or send out an email so I don't have to spend money on paper to let all these parents know, hey, let's get yourselves and your daughters, bring your sons, bring everybody, come down, and let's pack this place. Let's get this place packed out. But don't stop there. You're going to reach out to venues, and you're going to say to some nice venue, listen, I don't have money to give you. I'm sorry. But what I do have is I have the ability to put camera angles up that show the name of your facility saying that you're sponsoring us being here at your place. And we're going to talk about how amazing you are in the press conference while we talk about Angel Reese, because all these people are going to be cheering and excited. And then I'm going to reach out to people who do food, even if it's Subway sandwiches. And I'm going to say, hey, Subway, how's about you guys donate X amount of sandwiches? In trade, let's put up some big Subway logos everywhere. It's going to be the Subway-sponsored event. Let's sell this like this. Trade me the food. Let's get you big because you know this product is going to sell. You know this is Angel Reese. Let's make a big deal. All it takes is just taking a little bit of time to do some marketing because you know how special this is. You haven't sold out of your season tickets yet, right? But you know that all these other teams have, and you find it to be absolutely unacceptable. What a great opportunity for you to sell season tickets to all of those people that are there at your event that are there for free, who are eating and snacking, and they're cheering on Angel Reese. What are you doing, Chicago? You failed.
Go off, bro. But you know what? Interestingly enough, what about Camilla? I haven't seen anything about Camilla Floyd either.
I haven't either. I feel like she probably sat down in front of the same thing and we just didn't get that
and
view.
And we didn't get the view of it. Yeah. I mean, because with Alyssa, when she showed up for her, I keep wanting to say post-game interview. I don't know why my brain is so stuck on that.
That's wild.
That's so weird. But like they played to her culture, which I thought was so stinking
special. I didn't
realize
that they invited those people.
Yeah,
they
I tried to tell you. You were like, that's her family. And
I thought it was.
I
had no idea.
I think Minnesota Lynx just has their ish together. Like that was beautiful. And I realized like the possibility of you being able to do that for everybody is probably really slim, which means then maybe you do go more the way like Sean was saying with this big, you know, huge thing like you were describing. But so interesting to see the difference between the two.
Yeah.
But so how many of those, interesting to see the difference.
And if you think about it, how many of those people of her culture, her people wanted
it's
to
huge
be there.
For their, yeah.
They
for their
wanted
culture.
To be there. Like, I doubt you had to pay them.
There were, I saw I can't remember if it was a TikTok or a post on Facebook. I saw this a few weeks ago. Because, you know, she's from, I think it's Anchorage or something like that.
Yes.
People riding their snowmobiles from out and around in the areas of Anchorage to come down into Anchorage to watch her play on TV in Anchorage, which I was like, man, that's so cool. But, you know, those are cultures that aren't normally, that we're just starting to see them represented.
There you go.
Maybe that's some of it too. I don't know. It made me really sad for Angel Reese to see her walking in and just, you know, like, she's not an awkward girl by any stretch, but you watch her walking in and that is probably the most awkward I have ever seen her.
I agree. I mean, she's totally used to awkward. The fanfare.
She looked like a little scared 15-year-old girl. That broke my heart.
She's supposed to a degree. She's supposed to, because she's going to the big leagues and it's scary going to the big leagues. At the same time, it's your job as a city, because right now what Chicago said is, hey, look, we got a really big empty room here for you with a bunch of empty chairs. You can expect to play to this. Yeah. No, because you know that this is hot. The block is hot. The sport is hot. Everything's hot right now. I'm cashing in. You are my cash cow. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. I'm sorry. You guys can look at it that way, but sports is still a business at base. We love our sports figures. We love our athletes, but it's still a business. And Chicago failed, literally, because they had such a big opportunity right there. Angel Reese is a household name. Whether you love her, whether you hate her, whether you think that she's great, whether you didn't like Bayou Barbie, you know, if somebody says her name, you know who she is. So it makes no sense that Chicago would do that. That is just a waste. Wild to me.
It's terrible. Terrible.
How about HVL?
I think it's funny.
It's official. On her socials. Official.
I almost feel like she purposely wanted to just like push it off for a week.
I don't blame her either.
You know?
I don't blame her.
She wanted to kind of sit in it and just let it be.
Yeah. I absolutely. I don't blame her. We just talked last week about TCU, everything that TCU went through last year and the struggles and not having their players and everything. And here they are now with HVL. They're a guard heavy team and that's how they play. And so this is going to fit right to her strengths. She's going to be right back at home where she was before. She's a graduate transfer. She's already graduated from Kentucky. So, you know, she could just take some easier classes or however she wants to play this, but really raise her draft stock back up in this next season and remind us all who Haley Van Lith is and why we need to be paying attention to her. So good for her down there. Make some noise in the Big 12 in Texas.
I think one of the coolest things I saw was Angel Reese. And her tweet that she put out about HVL, and she said, proud of you. You know what to do, and you know I'm always rocking with you. I thought that was so special. I saw that last night, and I was like, you know, there was a whole bunch of talk about her at LSU, and how much was it actually just Kim Mulkey?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
It does. It does.
It really makes you wonder.
We'll never know. The Kim Mulkey story will have to be told in a documentary one day.
Once all these girls are graduated and out.
Yeah, she'll have to be not coach anymore. Otherwise, she'll threaten to sue. Who knows?
She'll still threaten to sue.
She probably will. Did you know that Nick Saban has had more number one, more first round draft picks than any other coach in college football?
I can't be surprised by that.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, there's nothing surprising about that.
Yeah. Alabama.
Not anymore.
Reggie Bush got his Heisman back.
Praise.
Caleb DeBoer is working as hard as he can. I heard you say whatever. He is working.
Who?
Caleb DeBoer.
Yeah, we'll see. That just doesn't equate to me, man. Style of football just doesn't make sense.
Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. And what I want to know is how much did Johnny Football have to do with that? Johnny Football.
This is such a weird thing to even process through my head.
It is. It is. But I just wonder, you know.
If Reggie Bush has his Heisman's back, then USC needs their national titles back.
Hey,
period.
Anything's possible.
End of discussion.
Anything's possible. I'd like to see it.
Such a weird time in football, man.
It's a weird
time.
It's strange out here, man.
Can't.
Let's talk about Spencer Rattler documentary, because as we talk about...
I had no idea about this.
Yeah, as we talk about Johnny Manziel, obviously everybody that has Netflix that likes to watch sports documentaries, if you listen to the show, you count, you probably saw the Johnny Manziel documentary. And so you have to stop and you have to think and you have to wonder.
That was so depressing.
You know what?
That ish was so sad.
It was, but it really heralds why NIL is a good thing. You know, it sucks, but it shows why there's a good thing. Hear me out. all of that was done under the table pre-NIL. And he was sneaking around and doing all this other stuff. And he was exposed to people in ways and places he shouldn't have been. I think to myself now, you visit the collective and the collective talks to you about money. And you don't have to be around a bunch of rich oil guys that are snorting coke off of a knife blade, you know. And yeah, I'm serious, you know, like you're putting yourself in parties and places with people that are much older than you, that are doing terrible things, that just see you as a dollar figure because you're under the table signing things for them to sell, you know. And now you have an open collective that is well regulated. It's almost like, I hate to bring up the industry of, I won't say it, the M word, I guess I did just mention cocaine. Marijuana here in the state of Oklahoma is legal, right? And so we look at the fact that that took a lot of the underground away, right? And that now it's sold in a controlled environment. No, I don't smoke pot. But no, I'm not saying that I advocate for you to go out there and smoke pot or not or do or whatever. I'm saying this on the standpoint
it's
that...
It's so awkward.
Well, because it's an awkward thing to talk about, because yeah. I never thought I'd have to talk about legalized marijuana. It's really weird. But I say that because it's on top. You walk in the store and get it. Same way with your NIL dollars. It's the same as paying a kid under a table. You know, back before NIL was legal, you don't do that anymore. Now the kid just gets paid by a collective, and we know how much they make by you hopping on three and you look up for us, you know, NIL valuations. So it's a whole new world. And so I think it changes things to a degree. Let's talk about Spencer Rattler and documentaries, though. Spencer Rattler just went, he's got picked like 180th, I believe. And my thing with that is that a lot of teams said that it was because of the documentary that he did in high school, where I believe he was kicked off the team. Although he was one of the best players, his coach basically said that he was uncoachable. He came off as highly unlikable in that documentary, and it hurt him. And he did that in high school. Here he is now out of college trying to get drafted, and his motives, moves, and the way that he carried himself in high school has chased him all the way to the NFL. We got drafted by the Saints.
That's tough.
It is tough.
I'm going to have to watch that because I didn't watch that. You must have watched that by yourself.
I did. And I was very disappointed in the things that I saw. Very disappointed. But it's definitely worth a watch. Caitlin Clark, by the way, she got herself a standing ovation at game 3 for the Pacers. I thought that was pretty cool. Pretty cool. So.
Not surprised.
There's a lot of people that are saying that KD needs to go back to the Thunder before he retires and play one more season to retire as an Oklahoma City Thunder player, and conversely, that LeBron, before he physically retires, needs to go back and play one more season with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you think any of that is logical, makes sense, or do you think these guys just do what they do and they finish out wherever?
I don't know. LT came back to San Diego to retire.
Okay. Now was that on a one-day contract, or did he play one last? Okay.
One day
right,
contract.
Right. So I'm talking about physically playing one season.
I don't think it matters.
Okay. There we go. That's what I was wondering. OU softball.
And it wouldn't even matter anyway, especially like with Braun. Like, I don't even know why that's even being brought up with him, number one. He's not going to, if his son's out there, he's not going.
Ooh.
Y'all forget about that part?
Ooh.
Come on now.
OU softball legend Joycelyn Alo signed a one-month deal to play baseball, with the Savannah Bananas.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. Super cool. I'm very excited for her. I love the representation. We just got done just talking about representation, and there it is, you know? I believe John Cena just came off of a one-month contract as well. I didn't know he could hit a ball. I was pretty shocked. So the Daytona 500 has been run on President's Day weekend for the last 48 out of 54 years. I mentioned earlier that Roger Goodell wants to move the Super Bowl to that weekend and make it a three-day weekend holiday. So the Indy 500 is run on the Memorial Day weekend every year at the Brickyard in Indianapolis. But it would mean that essentially that the Daytona 500 would have to move. And it's really interesting, the thought of that. But you wouldn't want to try to compete the Daytona 500 in the Super Bowl. That is that would be bad. So Jackson Holliday got bumped down back to AAA, unfortunately, on Friday. He got knocked down yesterday. You know, it's not a secret that he's been in a slump, and I know that I talked very, very, very highly of him, so it's just kind of sad to see him get knocked down. But the big leagues are tough, and I hope that Jackson Holliday is able to get it back together and make himself another run at it. So
he's just a baby.
He is. Make Oklahoma proud, young man, but start by making yourself proud. Go ahead on and ease in there. You'll get it figured out. Joel Embiid, a lot to unpack real quick. He had a 50-piece in the game the other night, And, you know, he's been if you guys have noticed, he's been like rubbing in his eye a lot. And I know that it was mentioned by some announcers the other night, not knowing what the heck is going on with him rubbing on his eye. Well, it looks as though, he has revealed to us that he has Bell's palsy. And so we notice he hasn't been smiling a lot. Well, he can't. And that one eye keeps trying to close up on him. He has some facial drooping.
For those of you that don't know who Bell's palsy is, what Bell's palsy is, you should probably explain what Bell's palsy is.
You are absolutely correct. So this is without me going to Google or anything. This is just going to rely on my own personal medical knowledge because I don't know anybody that's had it, but I can speak to the ilk of how I believe it works. It's much like a stroke, but it's not a stroke. So let's make sure that we put that out there. It's not a stroke, but it does copy the symptoms where you'll have left or right side weakness and you'll have the facial drooping, much like you've had a stroke. And so it can cause you to drool. It can cause one of your eyes to close. It can just cause some of those issues. It's an unfortunate kind of a disease.
Facial drooping.
Huh?
Facial drooping.
Yeah. Right. And I did see that it does weaken muscles, if you will, you know,
it's
so that
not
you're,
surprising.
Or just loss, that loss of control of certain muscles. Yep. Now, for a lot of people, it looks like it comes back, you know, that, mm-hmm. that it comes back and that you can get the feeling back and everything can be fine. But 6 months, a year, 2 years, it can pop up again and it can happen again. It's just something that seems like it comes and goes. So he's dealing with it right now. And considering he dropped a 50 piece.
I think he's okay.
Yeah, he's going to make it. Now, that's not without controversy. He had a flagrant one the other night. And of course, I'd like to play you a clip of said flagrant one and kind of what happened. I'll fill in the blanks that the announcers don't.
Underneath Anunoby on the block, contact with Embiid, shovel pass, Robinson is bumped, but look out. I don't think Robinson appreciated the pull down from Embiid. It will be Robinson to the free throw line, and boy, the intensity level and the chippiness continues to ratchet up. And they're still talking to each other.
And this is where, if you're Joel Embiid and that coaching staff, you've got to get him under control here. You can ill afford for him to allow this thing to escalate. This is too critical of a game, and we've got too much basketball left to play.
It'll be the first against Embiid.
Okay, so what happened there is Mitchell Robinson, the center for New York, was going up for a shot attempt at the rim, and Embiid, I think as he was falling down or it fell, kind of grabbed a hold of his leg and almost managed to undercut him. And so, of course, you know, they're in each other's face, and Embiid's pointing and all this other stuff. A fight almost breaks out, but, you know, cooler heads manage to prevail. But, of course, he gets himself a flagrant one because you can't do that. But a 50-piece on a night with a flagrant one playing harder than I've seen him play. I don't know, man. That's just some of the best basketball that I've seen from him. He is an inspiration, I feel, to anybody. Not for the flagrant, but for anybody who has dealt with Bell's palsy, knows somebody that's dealt with Bell's palsy, to see someone succeed like that in such a physical way where you need both of your eyes, but you don't allow that, I don't want to call it a disability, but you don't let that limitation stop you, I think is the other side of impressive. So good on him to keep doing his thing. Amazon is nearing a acquisition of rights to the NBA games for 2025, meaning that you'll have to be an Amazon Prime member for you to be able to watch NBA games or go to the bar and watch them at the restaurant or the bar. So really interesting to see the role that streaming is playing in our sports. And as we see a movement away from normal networks to a streaming hubs, you know, they're going to be the ones, I think, that dominate fiscal culture, especially as more people are cutting the cord to these cable outlets and utilizing Hulu's and FUBU's and
Hulu's and FUBU is a brand.
Is a brand of clothes. What am I thinking about? It's yellow and blue.
Philo
is one, but that's not the one I'm thinking about. But Hulu? People are going to know what I'm talking about as they hear me say this. They're going to be like,
Sling?
No. Sling. Gosh, I remember sling boxes back in
FUBO.
The day. FUBO. 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 Thank you. Not FUBU.
Yeah, FUBU was the pants.
Yes, FUBO. But yeah, the options like that. So here we are now. We are down to weird sports. We are close to the end of this thing. Like I told you guys, just as a reminder, It is Saturday, and we have some severe weather headed our way. We want to make sure that we're paying attention and we're not locked inside of a padded, soundproof room. So let's talk about car jujitsu. And, of course, I have a clip. Let's talk about it.
Hajime!
Wait a minute. Let's do this one.
Hajime!
All right, this match is underway. Immediately, Gurky blocks the seatbelt escape of Chambers. Chambers looks to be out now. He's reversed his position, and now we have a dogfight. Gurky's looking for a front choke here. Immediately transitions to the back. He's caught by Chambers. Chambers using his feet for leverage on the steering column and now on the dashboard. Gurky's now got the back. He's looking for the rear naked choke. And now it looks like Chambers is going to dashboard walk into top position. Chambers with some really good chest pressure here, and now Gurky and Chambers are outside of the passenger window. This is very dangerous. Our officials are watching them closely, and there goes the oh shit handle.
Okay, so you probably heard me go when he said the S word. That is, of course, because this normally simulcasts on the radio, but since this is a short episode, this one isn't going on radio anyway, so the S word was fine. Whew. Panicked. FCC. FCC.
You start sweating.
Oh, my gosh. I am actively, like, in a sweat. I'm like, oh, my word. He said it. And it's funny because at first I didn't even, like, recognize. But so, essentially, yes, they were fighting in the front seat of the car, falling out of the car and fighting. This is literal jujitsu fought inside of the car where you can utilize everything from the seatbelt to choke your opponent. You can walk across the dashboard. You can use the dashboard for leverage, the steering column, all of that in car jujitsu. Yeah, pretty cool, right? Now let's go to...
Cool is the word I'd use. Seems a little odd.
Let's go to canal jumping. Let's see if we can't get a nice description of canal jumping. I'll fill in the blanks after this clip, right? Now, oh, wait a minute. My video machine slipped out of my hand and I couldn't do my thing. So one more time.
Annual Dutch canal pole jumping competition is back. Competitors grasp the pole and strive to climb upwards. This acrobatic performance, resembling a monkey climbing a tree, is the most popular sport in the Netherlands, known as canal pole jumping. Before the competition begins, the participants put on non-slip socks and spray non-slip spray. Then, they sprint barefoot at the speed of 100 meters to grab a pole that is 8 to 13 meters long, maintaining balance and continually climbing upwards. Only by doing so can they rely on the pole's power to get themselves to the other side of the river and avoid falling into the water. This seemingly simple river crossing action actually tests not only physical strength, but also requires the application of knowledge in geometry and physics. This sport has a history of several centuries, and its origin is quite interesting. In the early days of the Netherlands, with many canals, farmers came up with the idea of pole jumping across canals to conveniently reach their fields while working. This method later evolved into a special sport. By the 20th century, it had official rules and measurement standards. Currently, the world record for this sport is 22.21 meters and has remained unbroken for a decade.
So, wild, literally, you run with the pole, and as it gets up to the apex in the middle of the body of water, you try to balance the pole and you try to climb as fast as you can up to the top. Of course, the fulcrum effect, if you will, is trying to make it tip forward. You'll see some people who balance perfectly and they're able to keep it held in the middle, oddly, as they get up toward the top. If you can make it up to the top, then you'll fall to the bank on the other side, which is sand. But if you don't, you end up tipping over into the water. It's pretty wild. I actually enjoyed watching and learning about this one as we got ready for it. But yeah, what an interesting, weird sport. Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep up with the weather and
yes.
Listen.
Oh, so. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. No, it's no problem. This is our last one. Our last one is, if I can find my... It's called the Caber Toss, and this one's popular in Scotland. If you're big on Highland games, then you'll be aware of this. And I mention this one because this one is caught on like wildfire here in America at local Highland Games festivals that you'll see done here. You know, let me play this clip. And before I do, I'll tell you guys, this thing looks kind of like a light pole that you pick up and you try to carry and run with and toss. And one of the leading young women of this sport, the Caber Toss, is going to explain a little bit about it to us.
How to caber toss. Okay, so first I start by making a nice sturdy triangle with my feet and the bottom of the caber. I work my hands down nice and slow, keeping the caber between my neck and shoulder. I get my pinkies underneath the caber just slightly, and then I pop the caber up, get my hands underneath as quickly as possible. I want to counterbalance the weight of the caber, keeping it behind me just a bit. I start walking slowly, pick up some speed. I'm going to stop, plant my feet, and pop the caber up, almost like I'm doing a high pull to kind of get that rotation going. Then I look at the judge, see if I got 12 o'clock, and regardless of the outcome, I'm going to do the cartwheel.
And that's the caber toss. Literally, she's out there. You'll see all of the different folks that are in the traditional regalia, you know, from Scotland. I can't remember what it's called, a kilt. Done while in the kilt and everything, and it looks like a light pole that you take a little jog with and you throw it 12 o'clock when it hits on the top and then flips over. So if you know somebody that is Scottish or you've ever been to or watched the Highland Games, that
The Highland Games are a blast.
Yeah, it's probably something that makes a lot of sense. So
that the Highland Games are amazing.
Yeah, I've never been to them, so
they're a lot of fun.
I got to see that. We're going to end it here, folks, as we get back for safety purposes. Hopefully, everybody between Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Joplin, hopefully there's no tornadoes. Everybody's perfectly safe. And, you know, they just said that something would happen, and it doesn't.
And nothing happens.
Yeah. It doesn't always work that way. It has,
I have some concerns.
I do, too. It has in the past, but we'll see. So if you're listening to this in any of those places, obviously, go ahead and keep your head on a swivel and make sure that you're paying attention. And you got anything that you want to add?
No, just be safe.
Be safe. There we go. Until next week, we'll see you.